Just a quick warning that we're going to be talking about life, death, existentialism, sinking, patriarchal norms, I think I meant to say. I'm reading my list and my writing is just illegible, but okay, there's death pearls. There are repetitive cycles repeating infinitely, all sorts of shit. So if you're not in the right headspace for that, maybe just skip these next few episodes. He's the pain of birth. A Hopeless Endeavor, a Joanna Newsom podcast. This is Divers, Part 8. I'm Sam.
I'm Nikki.
Welcome to the last, final, finale part of our discussion on Divers. We hope that you guys enjoy it. What did we do with it?
We tried.
I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy the discussion, but like, oh my God, there's so much going on here. There's paradoxes. How are we supposed to make sense of paradoxes? That's just the nature of
the
it that we can't
death?
Do it. Yeah. What? Yeah. So
the distant shores.
Yeah. Infinity. notoriously had some struggles with infinity. So buckle in. We hope you guys join us. I'm so fucking grateful to those of you who are here joining us for part fucking 8 of Divers. Like, you guys are just where it's at. I don't know how else to say that. Thank you for being here.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, we appreciate you so much. Here's part 8.
I would say enjoy, but that seems like a stretch.
Endure. Okay, bye. So there's something, maybe. Should we read the next verse?
Okay, so just like, what did we say about this fucking beat throwdown in the last episode?
I don't know.
Because it's happening again. I know we said hold on to your hats, because it's coming back. The waves are crashing. We had a brief intermission for this like soul-searching backslide, and now we're fucking back. We're thrown the fuck back into it. And
untethered.
We are unfucking tethered, 100%. And what we're thrown into is the realization that we are not the shell surface person. Maybe not even the realization. Maybe just like the
emphasizing.
The emphasizing, the screaming from the mountaintops, the like hair pulling, claiming, naming of. A woman is alive.
Yeah.
Exclamation point.
Yeah.
A woman is alive. You do not take her for a sign and nake her on a stone alone, unfaceted and fine. You do not.
You do not.
You daren't.
Oh, love it. Oh, love it.
Yeah, it's so good. And never will I wed. I'll hunt the pearl of death to the bottom of my life, and ever hold my breath till I may be the diver's wife.
All right. So
all of that wave, heavy claiming, naming is happening until about fine, right? And then we're chilling again. Well, chilling is right. We're back to like calm waters at and never will I wed.
Yeah. So I get so lost in the calm waters of this verse, and I feel much more, like, ironically, I feel much more secure in what I think about the tumultuous waters of this verse, because I agree that it's just flailing about. It is angry. It is righteous. It is fucking powerful. You do
it's
not
loud,
take her.
And it's aggressive. And
yes.
It's like, yeah.
You do not take her for a sign and nake her on a stone alone, unfaceted and fine. She's pissed, man. She is she's claiming herself. She's like, how the fuck are you not seeing my agency? I am a person. I am here. Like, a woman is not just a woman. It is a woman with a name and a whole fucking experience that, like, rivals yours in its depth and complexity and nuance and, like, subjectivity. I am here. You do not take her to just represent woman on a stone alone, facet and fine, motherfucker. God.
That's exactly fucking it. That's exactly it. It's such a big energy, and I love it so much with the rest of the themes in this song.
Yeah.
It's just such, like, it's so rare that we get such a straightforward, and maybe this isn't as straightforward as we assume after we spent zillion fucking hours on this album, but to have such a clear, like, this is what I mean and I'm saying what I mean.
Yes, man, I totally agree. Like, it's this beautiful, delicious, angry, straightforward narrator that we have to wait for, I think, with Joanna. Not that we mind waiting, because all the other versions of the narrators are beautiful. We'll
wait for the next album forever. Don't even worry about it.
We'll Don't even waiting. Worry. I also love the possibility here that she's comparing herself to a pearl. So so you had said, like, the definition of nacre. Do you have it up, Sam?
Mother of pearl.
Yeah.
The hard, pearly, iridescent substance forming the inner lining of a mollusk shell.
Right. So from what I understand, it is both the, like, if you think of an oyster as being like a mouth, even though I think that's a very imperfect representation, it is both the roof and, like, the bottom of the mouth, but it is also the stuff that the pearl is made of, too.
Right. We talked about this recently.
Right. Exactly. So she's saying that, like, the woman is in nacre, which I in my own imagination, it's just her being draped in pearls, that she's in nacre, or maybe even hardened to the world in some sense.
You do not take her for a sign. I'm moving all around. I'm sorry. The sound quality is not going to be great. I'm like, bloop, 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 bloop. Okay, but what would a sign in nacre be? You do not take her for a sign in nacre on a stone. Alone, unfaceted, and fine. You do not take.
In my head, it's that the in nacre on a stone, alone, unfaceted, and fine is just one description of the way that she is. And she's like, look at what I'm. This is my experience. It is not, I'm not a symbol. I am not just this, like, woman draped in pearls being beautiful because I, like, represent gender or because I am non-individualized. What you take me as is
exactly
is beautiful on a stone.
That's what I get to. You do not take her for a sign in nacre on a stone, alone, unfastened, and fine. So it is not just that I am not only the surface representation of myself. So unfaceted. So facet is to, like, have many different sides or faces. Mm. So to say that you are unfaceted,
right?
It's like you only have one
layer,
one layer, exactly, one perspective, like, right. One, like, again, that surface value, right? Like, I am not only what you see. It is not just this, like, basic ass fucking pearl.
Yes. Yes, I'm not a gem in the way that I've been compared to one. I'm not. I'm a person. I'm alive. I'm not just this pearl, another pearl that you need to, like, go conquer and die for.
What is alone, though?
Alone. A nacre on a stone, alone.
Can we not, with alone, can we not then reference, like, I think we talked about this in an episode recently. Did we? Like, the collective experience? Like, it's not like I am here by myself.
Yeah.
I am this, like, blank sheet of paper with no personality and no interest. I am woman as, like, you imagine me to be. But in fact, you know, it is the opposite of that. Right. I come with the knowledge of these collective experiences, and those experiences have made me faceted. Those yeah. experiences have refined me in a certain way.
Right. Yeah, she's renouncing the idea of being unfaceted, and maybe she's renouncing the idea of being alone too. Like because if we're taking her to be protesting against, like, you do not take her for a sign to be some figure draped in pearls on a stone alone, just being beautiful, right? If she's saying, like, that is not all I am, at least, then maybe she's also saying something like that. Like, that, like, I'm not just alone as I appear to be. Like, I come with this wealth of other experiences of, like, the women who have come before me, or the people in general who have come before me, and I don't know, human experience maybe as a whole. I think that, I can't remember also if we talked about this before, but, like, the pin light bent thing where, but I feel like I started to get into it, where I feel like it's just about how our individual subjective experiences are actually illusions, and we're all this big collective one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but yeah, I take her to sort of be either renouncing the alone factor here, or alternatively, like, emphasizing the fact that, like, I don't have the family and the life that you promised me with. You are still gone. Like, you're not going to just fucking take me for the sign as I sit here alone waiting for you. You're not. You're going to acknowledge my personhood. Thank you very much. I don't know. Yeah.
It's also such, where do we have language that is so direct? You do not. You. It's so pointed, right? Like, you do not. Is it saying, like, you better fucking
right,
not?
Right. That I had that question too, because it's not the most natural way of if it's you better fucking not, it's not the most natural way of putting that sentence. Like, you will not, or you should not, maybe would be,
you,
I think.
Should not, you cannot even, mm-hmm. but it's you do not.
Which is a little confusing.
It is, because then who are we talking to?
Right, right.
Because it seems like he did.
Yeah.
It seems like he did take her for a sign and nick her on a stone alone and fasten it and fine. And now we're backtracking from that.
I mean, it could still be a polite way of – a more polite way or a more refined way of communicating that same message. Of that same message. Like, one does not do this. Thank you very much to women. So you do not do this in the sense that, like, yeah, you better not. But it does leave open a less – excitable, angry interpretation that maybe we should give some light to. Like, no? All right.
I think it's super angry. Okay.
Yeah, no, I do too.
We're in the middle of the fucking wave here, right? Like, and the blue, 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 blue. Like, it's behind us. There's so much
thumping, driving rhythm that is, like, not, it's unrelenting at this point. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, you're right. I think that she's angry. I don't think that there is a great alternative explanation.
I feel that. Like, when I listen to this part of the song, it makes me fucking angry.
Me too, yeah. I'm
like, surely I have time and whatever invested in this song. But, like, what other music makes you feel that way, right? Like,
okay. But then we get absolutely tumultuously thrown into this calmer second half of the verse that, like, mm-hmm. what happened in between these two lines? What am I missing, I guess, is the question.
What is fine? What are we saying fine means?
I think in my head it's like,
and fine, like, beautiful.
Yeah,
fine?
Yeah, like a fine pearl, like a fine specimen. That was my interpretation. I don't know, though.
Yeah.
Also, I just love the rhyming of stone and alone, just right away, on a stone, alone. It just, like, drives home the, like, the punch of this verse.
I love the exclamation point. How often do we see exclamation points?
Love it. Love the exclamation point.
Okay, and as you were saying, we're back to calm waters.
Kind of calm still. There's this resoluteness still. And never will I wed. And never will I wed. It seems like it could either be, like, a reprimandy way of saying that. Like, fuck you, I'm disavowing, like, I'm just not going to do this with you. But also it could be like a lamenting kind of, like, God damn it, never will I wed. Like, I wanted
to. That cycle.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's this, like we've already established, there's this line of people that have loved and been loved. And we're back to the beginning again. But I think you're right. What's the perspective on never will I wed? Is it like, God fucking damn it. Like, here we are again. Like, this thing that I really genuinely wanted and, like, hoped for and worked at and tried for and, you know, had as a priority.
Yeah.
Like, poof. Okay.
Guess or I'm is not it doing like, that.
Guess I'm not doing that. Or is it like, I refuse to.
Fuck this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Because I get the fuck this vibe from the fact that, like, the verse that we just talked about, or, like, the part of the verse we just talked about that just came before this was so powerful. Maybe it's both at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's – if there's anything I've learned from this album is that it's probably it's both probably at both. The same time.
I think that's a good lesson to learn from this album. And never will I wed.
Period. Yeah,
period. Maybe she's reflecting on this at the end of her life, if that's the theory. But maybe she's also just like at the end of this relationship. And like you said, it's the cycles. She's like, I've done this before. I have been in the same fucking position. I'm trying to break the cycle by just acknowledging to myself, like, why get my hopes up again, right? Like, this is, I'm not going to get past the surface level. I'm not going to get there the way where I want to go. Because of the way that things are. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know.
What does that really mean to, right? Like, is there another meaning to wed?
And, like, here's the most perplexing part of all for me that I just genuinely don't know what to make of is that here we have the line, never will I wed. And a mere two lines later, pretty much the next line, she says, I'll ever hold my breath till I may be the diver's wife. What are you talking about? I thought you just said you'll never wed. Are you just wanting to die by suicide then? Like, what is the, you're just going to hold your breath for forever? Is that the thought? I don't understand. I don't know what's happening.
Great question.
Yeah, what the fuck is happening?
And never will I wed. I'll hunt the why is it a pearl of death to the bottom of my life? Is it the pearl of death because we as women don't have the ability to dive? And so, like, to attempt it is death?
Maybe. Maybe.
It's like holding your breath, like I'm going to hold on to the hope.
Right. That I may become the diver's wife.
Yeah, that someone may come along who actually sees me.
Maybe, but then why did she just say, never will I wed?
Oh, what? Okay, I'll read you this note. The note I had is, never will I wed. Is this why she hated the song being called The Diver's Wife?
Oh, yeah. Yes, so Joanna had this explicit objection. She said she wanted to start a Twitter or something so that she could say, stop calling this song The Diver's Wife when people mistakenly just gave it a name after she had played it at a festival. And so she said, it just... like, got me up, like, in such a tizzy because it crucially changes the meaning of the song to call it The Diver's Wife, which I love because, like, she's saying that is not how you're going to fucking define the narrative of the song as The Diver's Wife. Like, that's, like, so – I feel like that's just, like, against everything we've been talking about. It's against her saying a woman is alive. It, like, goes right contrary to that, right?
And it also places the wife – as secondary, right? It's mm-hmm. the wife belonging to the diver.
Exactly. And she's defined in relation to him, which is like, you do not take her for a sign.
You do not.
You do not.
He's wagging her finger.
I was thinking that also the Pearl of Death might be the, because we were talking in the devastating, heartbreaking verse that we talked about last recording session, the idea that the pearls might be potential babies or like families or like something like that, that they were starting together and he's shucking the fucking oysters and pulling the pearls out and she's hearing these like the ringing of the pail forevermore. And so if the pearl in that sense, the pearl of death representing a life, sort of contradictorily, but in that sense, like the pearl of death representing either, I don't know, the life of a fetus or maybe just like the life that she imagined that they might have together or something like that. But like, because for the very reason that it's the pearl of life, it is also the pearl of death, right? Like the very reason that it is full of potential is the very thing that gives it this like power, this like scary death. Because like, what is it? What is it to have, you know, children, if not to like bring these mortal things into the world? And what is it to get married if it's not to commit yourself to this like very temporary thing, this like very scary in its temporariness thing? I don't know.
I think my theory about these lines is that like it's worth it. Like it's worth risking leaving the surface and continually hunting for this like deeper meaning, this deeper relationship. It's worth risking being the diver yourself.
Yeah.
To have like the possibility of being the diver's wife. Like for this narrator, it is worth it to her to risk it all for that.
Right. I like that. I like that with the caveat maybe that the kind of diving she wants to do is the kind of diving you had mentioned before, Sam, which is like the diving within her, like, to an emotional depth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we have the knowledge now that like that diving is an emotional one and is something that only women can do in the context of this song. Maybe. I don't know if I believe that.
Maybe. And so she's the diver's wife then in the kind of diving she's going to do, in that maybe her kind of diving is pitted against the kind of diving that he does. So like maybe rather than it being a call for them to be the same and for him to come do the same diving with her, that she finds this sort of not kinship, but like this way that they can have equal footing with each other, that they can be like true partners. Where he's doing his diving and she's doing hers. And in that sense, she's the diver's wife. She's the diver's partner. I don't know. This is not a clean explanation. I feel like there's lots of loose threads.
That's like worth diving for. That's like worth trying again.
Right.
That to like find that equal ground or to find that, to find that equal ground is worth the risk.
Right. And maybe even to this sort of, I don't even know how to describe it exactly, but this sort of mutual respect in the sense that like not only does he have to respect the kind of diving that she's going to do and acknowledge her as a person in the way that her calling for him to acknowledge that a woman is alive is sort of compelling him to do. So not only respect in that direction, but maybe also respect that like he's going to do what he's going to do. So never will I wed. Like she's like, maybe the idea that she will never wed is a bit giving up the kind of diving that she had been asking of him before, or at least like giving up on the idea that they're going to be doing the same sort of activity, that they're going to be partners in that sense. I don't know. This is meandering. But But there is some kind of, I feel like there's a vibe of like renouncement here with the "I never will I wed" line. But then some sort of recommitment at the end of this verse to say, look, I'm still going to hold my breath forever until I can be the diver's wife. So to make sense of that contradiction, I feel like we can imagine the narrator as like shifting the expectation for what it might mean to dive in tandem with somebody as somebody's partner.
Yeah, and that both are equally valuable and equally worthy. And they're just differently defined. Equally necessary, right? Right. That they both contribute in different ways to the relationship.
Right.
And that it like makes a whole. That right. Both of their diving efforts put that like shucked shell back together.
Yeah, exactly. And this is – I'm more into this now that I think of the line that's coming in the next verse that we're about to talk about, which is that – the divers are not to blame. She specifically says the divers are not to blame for the rift spanning distant shores. So like if the thought there is that like, look, there might be a tendency to blame the like my husband or whatever for or like my love for not going emotionally deep in the way that I want him to, maybe it's not his fault. Like you said, it's maybe like, oh, I have come to realize that we need to respect both kinds of diving, that things aren't going to change even though it's really hard when they don't, but that both add value and both, exactly as you said, like twin, there's like these opposing forms of diving that work together maybe?
Yes.
That complement each other.
That complement each other. And this idea I really like with the greater themes of the album. I'm going to reference our, did we ever share this list? We've read it a zillion times.
I don't know.
But like doubling and having and binaries of self are on there, twinning, who is remembered, who is forgotten, how is this a love song? How is this a love song?
Oh, God. I feel like this is... it's a love song because I think there's a real love there. I think that there's a real... if there was no love, I feel like there wouldn't be such an impetus for them to be diving together. Like, why would she care about what he's doing? She wouldn't be waiting on the stone. She's waiting because there's something to be said for it all. Maybe. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, that there's value in the holding your breath. There's value in the diving. And that value might look different from each partner's perspective. And that role might change. But it's probably worth it. Is that like too cheesy of a note?
Even if it's not worth it, the idea that like what she's envisioning is love. It's not as though it's not. So like the, if it's right, the idea that she's like wanting, you know, like a family or to like cultivate love or to like have a relationship where he actually knows her fucking name, like all that would be worth it, right? If it could happen. And so like.
And it seems like it's not too much to ask.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it seems like having your partner know your name is not too high a bar.
Right. That almost makes this resignation at the end of the song all the more devastating because, like, is she at the point at the end of the song where she's like, I can't even expect that? Like, let's just resign ourselves to do our own diving because, like, I can't expect the bare minimum. I don't know if that's the right interpretation, but it's a sad one. It's a frustrating one if that's true.
Okay, I'm going to leave our questions up here.
Okay.
I'm going to scroll back down because that didn't help.
Right. And why is the pearl of death at the bottom of her life? I feel like that just like reinforces the interpretation that the kind of diving that she's doing is just a different kind of diving than he is doing. I feel like that particular line drives home that point.
What is a pearl of death? It's a movie, but
oh,
Don't think that's related, but if it is, set us straight here.
It does make me think of the pearl in The Pearl by Steinbeck.
Yeah.
Just that this pearl ended up being the thing that brought death to the kid. The pearl of death. This like thing that has like this allure and promise and is like glimmering and tempting, but like really will be the end of them. Okay, so that's easy for me to apply to The Pearl by Steinbeck, but how does that apply to this song, this alluring thing? Maybe the promise of family, when that doesn't come to pass, could be the end of them, or alternatively, the promise of wealth that you might get from pearl hunting might be the end of them because of the sacrifice of family. I don't know.
To the bottom of my life, what does that even mean? What does it mean to hunt something to the bottom of your life?
Well, I love here too, like, if there's a theme in this album of spatializing time, I love the idea of spatializing one's life in that way, because if we're thinking about a lifespan as just being like a series of events that happen to a person throughout time, then maybe it's spatializing time in the same way that we've seen throughout this album. And on that sort of picture, then maybe we can imagine the bottom of her life just being like the real nitty gritty of it all, like the depths that I've been wanting to dive to emotionally speaking, like the I'll give everything that I have to the bottom of my life in that, like, it's like literally going to her very edges. I don't know.
I also don't know. Because when I imagine bottom of my life, I imagine like a measuring cup full of water. And we're pouring out and we're pouring out and we're pouring out. And then when we get to the bottom, there's nothing left. So it's just a stupid analogy in my head.
No, like, it's not stupid.
But like, but then what is it that we're pouring?
Well, maybe we're not pouring anything anymore. Once we like get rid of all of the things that we can give, then there's just the shell that's left. There's just the, you know?
A husk.
Yeah, right.
A husk without a pearl.
Right. But there's some devotion here in any case. There's some like very, I want to say the narrator on this album, but certainly the narrator, the very feminine narrator throughout her corpus, I feel like is often super devoted. And like, I think I was saying this before at the beginning of this recording, like it is the one that's doing the work in a bunch of these songs. And like, I so get that same vibe here where she's like, look, I'll continue to be the most dedicated you've ever seen. I will devote myself to whatever it is that she's devoting herself to. I think. I don't know.
Did we say this already, that maybe the Pearl of Death is that paradox from the Pearl book you read, that like having like it's a Pearl of Death because like that knowledge is too valuable, that having the pearl is maybe like the end game, but we also know that it's too much,
that it corrupts,
that it corrupts. I'll hunt the Pearl of Death to the bottom of my life.
Maybe it's accepting the paradox a little bit, right? It's accepting that like we are in a shitty situation, in that like it's always going to be this. You know how we talked about her, I think it was an interview in which she said that there is a tension in all of the songs on Divers where there are these opposing forces sort of pulling the song taut. And so maybe this is, the Pearl of Death is sort of an acknowledgement that there is this paradox, this inherent like allure of the pearl, but with the knowledge that that comes with this really like ominous dooming thing. What's the word for dooming that I'm trying to think of? I think it starts with a P. It's like maybe not a P. Anyways, the idea that it's simultaneously this good and really bad thing. And maybe she's just accepting that paradox. She knows it.
I'm unsatisfied with that, but I don't think there's anything we can do about it at the moment.
No. And I anticipated being unsatisfied with this particular part of the song because it's so... I almost never feel this way, but like I almost like that it unsatisfies me because I'm like, it doesn't... I feel like it should be unsatisfactory given the contradictory nature of the topic at hand, maybe.
And I think our narrator is probably also unsatisfied.
Yeah, I do too. Exactly. There's a paradox here and like she's making us feel it, maybe.
Yeah. I feel it.
Yeah, I feel it too. I feel it too. The word hunt, I thought too, was interesting because it just for me calls to mind a very like stereotypically traditionally masculine word in the sense that if we're attributing masculinity to going out and hunting and going out and doing the exploring and femininity to like staying, being alone on a rock. Oh, I can't believe it. I got too wrapped up in our conversation. I didn't even talk about Greek mythology. What was I thinking? Okay, so the thing that got me on this track here was that somebody on Genius at some point had said, look, this song might be making a reference to the myth of Andromeda and Perseus. And I hadn't heard this myth before. But here's how the story goes. So Andromeda, interestingly, is the daughter of Cassiopeia, which we have a Joanna song about, obviously, and whatever, Cepheus. And then there's a whole bunch of details that we always get with Greek mythology that I'm not going to subject you guys to right now. But basically, Andromeda is doomed, or she's put up on a rock to be sacrificed by the sea. So she's chained to a rock by the sea to await her death because the king has to sacrifice her in order to appease... Who is it? Some king, I think.
Okay.
Or a sea monster, maybe, because it's Greek mythology and who knows what's ever happening. But the basic idea is that Andromeda has to be chained to this rock by the sea to await her death. And then we have Perseus, who is just then flying near the coast of Ethiopia, where this is all happening, on his winged sandals, having just slain Medusa and is carrying her severed head. But upon seeing Andromeda bound to the rock, Perseus falls in love with her and he secures her hand in marriage if he can save her. So Perseus kills the sea monster that's threatening everybody with the magical sword that he had used against Medusa, thus saving Andromeda. So then they get married and whatever, a bunch of other Greek mythology shit ensues that I won't get into. But the basic premise is that she's chained to a rock in order to be sacrificed by the sea. And then Perseus comes along and saves her. And I was reading about this a little bit more. And apparently this myth, the dynamics behind this myth are exactly what inspired like the very tropey fairy tale idea of like Prince Charming coming to save the woman in distress. Like apparently it all stems from or can be traced back to in some sense this myth, which I thought was really interesting in the context of obviously gender dynamics, right, in this song that we've been talking about endlessly.
It also colors "You do not take her for a sign and make her on a stone" in a way too. Like, what would the sign be? If you see a woman chained to a rock, is the sign that she needs help then?
Right. Maybe.
So is that what we're saying? Are we saying that I am not only someone who needs to be rescued?
Right.
Is that like another layer?
Yeah, I totally think so. If the theme is in some sense calling our attention to the fact that these themes get the theme of Andromeda and Perseus gets played over and over again in like that this was the theme of the myth. And then we see it in one of the things that they had mentioned was St. George and the Dragon, by the way, which I thought was interesting given that we talked explicitly about that in Joanna songs. but in St. George and the Dragon and just countless other fairy tales where we see this dynamic with different women and different men, but the same sort of basic structure happening. And so when we talk about themes of Divers, the album, of like these same exact cycles being repeated through what we think of as like different lives and different existences that all share the same theme. And so we're much more closely connected in that sense than we thought that we were, maybe. That, yeah, exactly. That she's saying, like, either I'm something more than this cycle. I'm something more than just the role, maybe. I don't know. Something like that. Something along those lines. I'm not here to just be saved. Like, there's this familiar story that you know, but also, like, I have my own individualisms. I don't know.
Cool. That's very cool. Greek mythology is wild. I still haven't bought Greek mythology for dummies, but I think that would probably help.
It is so crazy. I was just saying that to David before we started recording. I was like, who the fuck in ancient Greece was keeping track of, like, oh, Andromeda was like second cousins with like this person who like shared a father in Zeus, but also Zeus fucking fathered 1,700 other make-believe people that like were somehow keeping track of their family lineages. It's so weird.
The flowchart that I need,
yes,
is huge. Yes. And it's also like we say these names, East Andromeda, and I'm like, oh yeah, I should remember why we talked about that.
Yeah,
because I know we did in East somewhere.
Yeah, but like who knows. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. We've talked about these things before, but like even Perseus, I think we've talked about before, but like I don't know.
Yes, we have. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
We definitely have.
All right, moving on, I guess. So she sings, "See how the infinite divides, and the divers are not to blame for the rift spanning distant shores. You don't know my name, but I know yours."
Burn.
Yeah, I mean, okay, that last line we've talked a little bit about, but "you don't know my name, but I know yours" to me is like, I've been paying attention and you haven't been at all, in the most basic minimum way.
And it also makes me feel like you haven't asked mine. Mm-hmm. Like, I asked, you didn't even ask.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know how we were saying before, like, if the call to not take her as a sign in Naked on a Stone, Alone and Faceted and Fine is the idea that, like, I'm a person with a name and an individual personality and not just this woman sitting there waiting for you. Where she's like, look, you don't know my name because I haven't been individuated for you, but I do know yours. I know a lot about you. And like, there is this, again, this asymmetry in the effort, or at least the kind of effort that each person has put forth in the relationship. If there's a relationship at all, it's like less and less clear as the song progresses that that's what's happening.
Exactly. Then it makes me wonder how much of this is reality and how much of this is just a projection. Right? Like, how much of this was an actual relationship and how much of this is like the possibility of, or the hope of, or the want of, or the projection of.
Yes. Or like the repeating cycles of, where like she's not actually talking about a specific guy, because this has happened to like many specific guys for her. This is the dynamic that the pattern that keeps releasing itself.
I like that, because then it's like, oh no, I had it and it's gone. Why do I like that?
Why does the infinite divide them? What is that about?
Well, Nikki, I like that we say see how the infinite divides. Like, that's a command, right? You're requesting we do something. See how the infinite divides. I mean, it almost seems like a non-question, right? Like, of course the infinite divides.
Divides what from what?
Couldn't tell you, but it does it infinitely.
It does. It does do it infinitely. And we're looking at it.
We are staring it straight in the face, whatever it is.
The infinite divides, and the divers are not to blame for that division.
Yep.
For the rift, right? Mm-hmm. So rift meaning just separation, right? Like the, let me just look it up to make sure I have the right definition. But yeah, so rift, a crack, a split, or a break in something.
So the divers are not to blame, are not to blame for that infinite division.
Yes, and another definition which might be relevant is a serious break in friendly relations. So the example being their demise caused a rift between the city's town and gown. I don't know what the fuck that example is. But yeah, the idea that like there's a rift in the friendship.
So is it kind of like shoulder shrug, like, well, shit happens. These divides are just like part of the cycle and they are doomed or destined to repeat. And like, it's not your fault, but like also I knew your name. So like, it's kind of your fault.
Right. It's not your fault, but still I resent you.
It's like, not your fault.
It's not your fault. Or like, at least, like, it's not your fault, but it's still the case that you're not living up to what you need to be doing, to what I deserve, right? Like, to, what needs to happen in order for me to feel okay with this? You still don't know my fucking name, man. So, like, I don't know where to go from
and
here.
And that's the end of the song. The end of the song is, you don't know my name, but I know yours.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Ugh is right. Totally. It gives me this vibe of like her having studied him in a way that's so sad because she was doing it, I think, with the hope and maybe the promise that it would lead to something else. And then it just didn't. It's like all that effort was for naught. It just like didn't go anywhere. I don't know. I just get the sense of all this effort being exerted all the time on behalf of the women in these albums. And like, oh my God, it's all this effort and all of this attention to detail and this like really emotionally laborious work that then just gets fucking trampled all over. It makes me angry and sad.
It is so true that this is the pattern throughout, right? Like I think of Monkey and Bear. Who else can we think of? I always
fucking
think of
Lola and Louie.
I think of Lola and Louie.
And of the softest chalk narrator and the partner
and
there.
The only skin narrator. The sleeping partner does not suffice.
Does not suffice. Yeah.
That's a nice comparison, though. Like, okay, what is the comparison between it does not suffice to merely lie beside each other as those who love each other do, and I'll hunt the pearl of death to the bottom of my life? Are they contrasting or are they similar?
I don't know. I don't have a good enough handle of what is going on in the divers one.
Well, because there's like this surface in does not suffice to, right? Like, it does not suffice to merely lie beside each other. Like, that is not enough for me. I think we're saying something similar. I think we're saying that, like, the baseline is that we know each other's names.
Yes, yes.
And, like, if that can't be met, we are infinitely divided.
Yeah.
And those are good standards to have, I think.
Yeah, it's a minimally decent relationship.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
Criteria. Yeah. No, but I take your point that there is a similar theme there, that there's this, like, demanding of more from the partner in a way that, like, she's, like, reached her wit's end at the end of both songs and in a similar kind of way, I think, maybe.
I think so. Yeah. I think that there's this breaking point in both songs that we are saying, like, this was the last straw. I hate the saying the straw that broke the camel's back, but like this is what did it. If you can't know my name, if all we have is lying beside each other, then I'm out.
Then what do we have? Yeah.
Then exactly. What do we have? What's the value of that? What are we bringing to each other?
What are the distant shores in question. So like we talked about how the rift might be just like the divide between either this specific partner and like this specific woman or gender in general, the rift between like what expectations we have for one another. But like, what are the distant shores? Because shores to me seems to imply this like, you know, this realm that has been designated as the feminine realm throughout this song, where like women are bound to the shore and men don't really have anything to do with it. And so what's the rift spanning distant shores? Is there another kind of shore that I'm not thinking of?
No, I think that that's the right shore. And that I think how I'm understanding it is that this infinite, we are infinitely divided on these distant shores. Like this is not a just us thing. It's a pattern. It's a repeating thing. It's something that's relatable to people on all shores, women on all shores, perspectives from all shores.
Yes. And as you say that, it makes me think of, so you know how we were talking about the series that Blessing All the Birds did on the chiasmus? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say chiasmus in the plural. Is it chiasma or chiasmuses? But whatever. The plural of chiasma.
I saw chiasma somewhere, but I don't know.
Okay. Let's go with it. The chiasma between a bunch of the songs on Divers in that a bunch of these songs are mirrors of each other given their placement, the order in which they appear on the album. And so if we're thinking, I'm just making this up on the spot, but if we're thinking about this song sort of being standing in that chiasmic relationship with Waltz of the 101st Lightborn, then like the distant shore might refer not to the shore across the ocean, but like literally another worldly shore. So
another
if we're talking
time, another space, exactly. Another plane. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, 100%. Like a whole other shore. And so there's this distance there that like might start, I don't know, we might be talking about the lover in specific, but we also might be expanding our boundaries and talking about like the division between people more generally rather than just between this particular narrator and this particular partner, but rather the ways in which people and our experiences seem to be really divided. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Like she's talking about the divers now rather than like saying you are not to blame or like you do not take her for a sign or like this very pointed trying to pick out this one particular individual that she's been talking to in referencing the diver is my love. Now she's saying the divers in general are not to blame. So she's zooming out a bit.
When we say divers, do you think we are referencing only the men in this equation or are we also including the women? That's what I think too.
Yeah.
That it's everyone. It's like shit is bad everywhere.
Yeah. None of us are – we're doing the best we can.
We're doing the best we can.
Yeah. Which, oh my God, I love that sentiment. I know that Melissa said she really didn't like this sentiment in one of her posts, which is just the idea that like – I think she was just saying that like, yes, the divers are to blame actually. Like this is all on one interpretation of, you know, like privilege and subordination that there is in fact – a blameworthy participant in the privilege subordination dynamic, and it is not the subordinated.
But I think that's also what she's saying here, right? Because on one foot, we're saying the divers are not to blame for the rift spanning distant shores. But then in the next breath, we are also saying, you don't know my name, but I know yours. I think it's both and neither.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, another paradox kind of, a little bit.
Oh, for sure. For sure, that it is at the same time not fair to blame divers in general for this rift. But man, you also didn't know my name. So like,
right.
There's like so a like, base humanity that we're missing here.
Right. I hate to quote Ani DiFranco.
Do you?
I won't even do it. But the
no,
idea
do it. Now I need okay. to know it. Come on.
She just says, like, women learn to be women and men learn to be men. And I don't blame it all on you, but I don't want to be your friend. Like, the idea that she's like, listen, I understand this is all learned behavior. I understand that this is not your fault. But at the same time, like, I don't want this to be my life. Like, I don't yeah. want, it still sucks. The dynamic still sucks between the two of us. So, yeah.
No, I think that's perfectly applicable. And I think it explains this last verse in a much more straightforward way, right? Like, just because this isn't your fault doesn't mean that it's worth my time. Yeah. It doesn't mean that yes. it's worth all of this.
It doesn't mean that it's okay. Like, yeah. it's still a wrong, even if it's yeah. not your fault. It's still harmful to me yeah. and, like, devastating, right? Like, you've uh-huh. devastated my life. Yeah. Oh, God, this song.
So if you haven't heard this song, it's fucking sick. You should probably go listen to it. But I'd be really surprised if you were here.
That would be super surprising. Yeah, I'd say that. I love the way that it ends on, or like the way that she says yours. I don't actually know. In my memory, the yours is like almost independent from the musicality. Like, the yours almost like echoes throughout. Like, there's some sort of lasting impression that that final word of the song gives.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
You don't know my name, but I know yours. And like, the music just sort of takes a backseat.
There's almost like three beats between, but I know
yours.
I wonder if that just drives that home even more too.
Yeah. And it just, the echo-ness of it, if there is that, and I'm not making it up, just seems to me to be, like, very haunting, very unresolved. And actually, bringing it back to Brian from Critical Reaction's analysis of the song, his, like, one of his main takeaway points of the musicality of the song is that there's just no motherfucking resolution ever, that it remains unresolved, musically speaking, throughout the whole song. And that's how it ends too, is that it's not going to give you that like nice resolution you wanted. It's going to end on this sort of off note or this off place, which, God, I think is so in keeping with
it is. What we've been talking about. Because yeah. that's what I'm left with too here, right? I'm unsatisfied. Mm-hmm. None of this feels good. None of this is comfortable. Like,
right.
What do we have at the end of this song? Not a whole lot.
No. And we have this like sad resolution to like, it's important to like stand up for ourselves and to treat ourselves as important, but also to acknowledge that like it's complicated and it's not just a matter of vilifying the other position. So what are we left with? This shrug of like, oh my God, yeah. this is hard.
Yeah. Life is hard.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
The end. So thanks so much for listening to part 8 of... Wait, are we done?
Is it part 8?
I think so, because we just released part 6. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to part 8 of Divers. I don't know what we are. What are we?
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I'm exhausted too, for sure.
This was a lot.
It really, really was. That required a lot of effort, a lot of emotional exhaustion, a lot of fucking thinking. None of this is straightforward. We had to use our goddamn brains a lot in this song.
But that's okay. But
yeah, no, that's what we're here for. It's fun. It's exhausting.
It's really fun.
It is. Super fun. So... you should email us your thoughts and theories and do some of the thinking for us. Our email is ahopelessendeavor@gmail.com. you can find us on Facebook at A Hopeless Endeavor, Joanna Newsom Podcast. We are also on Patreon. There you can find early episode releases and some bonus episodes. It's patreon.com/ahopelessendeavor. It's also linked in the show notes, so just check that out. Sam does an insanely good job. I didn't know where
that adjective was going. But she does a very good job at running our Instagram account, which is
A Hopeless Endeavor Podcast. Mm-hmm. There's a link tree there to all the things Nikki mentioned. But look in the show notes for all of the articles that we've talked about throughout the series as well. Because yes. Those are important.
There's a bunch of article links there. It's like pretty much just Blessing All the Birds extravaganza in the show notes. So check that out for sure. There's also a link to, I think her name is Sarah's website.
Yes.
Very sweetly contributed a very insightful and lovely voice memo. And so in which she referenced her bioluminescent art. So you should check out her website linked in the show notes. Is that everything, Sam?
If you haven't watched the critical reactions video too,
oh, yeah.
Go do that because it's really cool.
Right. Also linked in the show notes. Hi, Sam, sweet cat who is here to say hi, who looks wanna bigger than hi? The last time I saw her.
She's giant. Yeah, she's just big boned. Hey, you just have a good primordial pouch. That's it.
All right. So I think that's everything. We'll be back next week with same old man. You guys... swear to God, I'm reprimanding you right now. If you don't join us for those discussions, I'm going to be so mad. And I already know that some of you are not planning on joining us for the same old man. And you better be there. Or I'm going to come knock taking on your door. Attendance. Yeah, I'm taking attendance.
Oh, you're so funny. Well, we'll be there. We would love if you joined us.
We'll be there for sure.
And then you can also join us for the steep slide into the end of the album, which is going to be a lot. Oh, boy.
All right. So we'll see you then, guys. Bye.
Bye.